In my last two videos, Proof of Purgatory Part 1, 22 Bible Verses, and Proof of Purgatory Part 2, The Early Church Fathers, I showed that a belief in a place or state after death, whereby those who are saved and who will go to heaven are purified in order to reach the perfection necessary to enter heaven, is both biblical and was part of the early church doctrine and is an essential doctrine of Christianity. Okay, so purgatory is a legitimate Christian doctrine with ample scriptural support and was clearly believed in the early church. But does that make it true? Well, since Christianity is the truth and this is a true Christian doctrine, then yes. However, I wanted to know if there was more support for the actual existence of purgatory. Has anyone been contacted by some of the souls in purgatory? Or has anyone visited purgatory and come back? And what I found is that the answer to both of those questions is a resounding yes. In fact, many books have been written on this topic. One such book called Hungry Souls was a book that I read. It is story after story of people who have had encounters with the souls in purgatory. There is also a book by Maria Sema, a mystic who had received many visits from the souls in purgatory, called Get Us Out of Here. And there are many, many other books. There is a museum in Rome with artifacts from people who had had visits by the souls in purgatory and left signs of their visitation. Catholic exorcists tell us that sometimes when a place is, quote, haunted, it is actually a soul in purgatory signaling for prayers. The way you know that it is a soul in purgatory and not a demon is the soul in purgatory will be benign. It'll just appear then disappear. It won't be malignant. If it's malignant, it's a demon. But when people call and say, there's something going on in our house, and the priest comes out to investigate and realize that it is a soul in purgatory, then they simply say a mass for the repose of the soul, pray the rosary, and it goes away. No exorcism needed, unless the people in their ignorance have tried to communicate with the spirit, or invited mediums, or burned sage, or done some other occult activity that attract demons. If I were to give all the accounts, whether it's people being visited by the souls in purgatory, or themselves being shown visions of purgatory by God that we know of, this video would be 10 hours long. And as you know, I like to do 10 to 15 minute videos, so I have chosen a select few and ask that if you're really interested in this and you want to know more, go read those books. Saint Ludwina of Schiedam was a 15th century Dutch saint and mystic. As a teenager, she had an ice skating accident that left her debilitated for the rest of her life. A sinful man was converted by her prayers and was able to make a good confession, but he died soon after, unable to do much penance. After some time, she asked her guardian angel if he was still in purgatory, and she had this vision. "He is there," said her angel, "and he suffers much. Would you be willing to endure some pain in order to diminish his?" "Certainly," she said. "I am ready to suffer anything to assist him." Instantly, her angel conducted her into a place of frightful torture. "Is this then hell, my brother?" asked the holy maiden. And seized with horror, "No, sister," answered the angel, "but this part of purgatory is bordering upon hell." Pope Innocent III reigned from 1198 to 1216. Among other great accomplishments, he approved St. Francis of Assisi and his small group of friars, today called the Franciscans. After he died in 1216, he appeared to St. Ludgardus of Aries. When Pope Innocent appeared to her, he thanked her for the prayers during his lifetime, but explained that he was in trouble. He had not gone straight to heaven, but was in purgatory, suffering its purifying fire for three specific faults he had committed during his life. And he made a desperate plea for help. "At last, it is terrible and will last for centuries. If you do not come to my assistance, in the name of Mary, who has obtained for me the favor of appearing to you, help me." Then he vanished. With a sense of urgency, St. Ludgardus quickly told her fellow religious sisters that she had seen and prayed for his soul. In the book, The Life and Revelations of St. Gertrude, we read, "On Wednesday at the Elevation of the Host, we besought our Lord for the souls of the faithful in purgatory, that he would free them from their pains by virtue of his admirable ascension. And she beheld our Lord descending into purgatory with a golden rod in his hand, which had as many hooks as there had been prayers for the souls. By this he appeared to draw them into a place of repose. She understood this, that whenever anyone prays generally for a motive of charity for the souls in purgatory, the greater part of those who during their lives have exercised themselves in works of charity are released. Our Lord told St. Gertrude the Great that the following prayer would release 1,000 souls from purgatory each time it is said. The prayer was later extended to include living sinners as well. The prayer goes like this: Eternal Father, I offer you the most precious blood of thy divine Son, Jesus, in union with the masses set throughout the world today, for all the holy souls in purgatory, for sinners everywhere, for sinners in the universal church, those in my own home, and within my family. Saint Teresa of Avila in the 15th century writes, I was told that someone who had been our provincial was dead. I had some dealings with him and was indebted to him for some good deeds. He was a person of many virtues. As soon as I learned that he was dead, I felt a lot of disturbance because I feared for his salvation and that he had been superior for 22 years. Being a superior is something I am indeed very afraid of, since I think having souls in one's charge involves a lot of danger. With much anxiety, I went into the oratory. I offered up for him all the good I had done in my life, which must, in fact, amount to little, and so I asked the Lord to supply from his own merits what was necessary for the soul to be freed from purgatory. While beseeching the Lord for this the best I could, it seemed that the person came out of the depths of the earth at my right side, and that I saw him ascend to heaven with great happiness. One of the nuns in the house had been a great servant of God, had been dead little more than a day and a half. A nun was reciting a reading in the choir from the office of the dead, which was being said for the departed soul, and I was standing so as to say the verse with her. When she was halfway through the reading, I saw the nun who had died. It seemed to me her soul had come out of my right side, just as in the previous case, and was going to heaven. Padre Pio, 20th century. One day, while praying alone, Padre Pio opened his eyes to see an old man standing there. He was surprised by the presence of another person in the room and explained in his testimony, I could not imagine how he could have entered the friary at this time of night since all the doors are locked. Seeking to unravel the mystery, Pio asked the man, Who are you? What do you want? The man responded, Padre Pio, I am Pietro de Moro, son of Nicola named Prococo. I died in this friary on the 18th of September 1908 in cell number 4 when it was still a poorhouse. One night, while in bed, I fell asleep with a lighted cigar, which ignited the mattress, and I died, suffocated and burned. I am still in purgatory. I need a holy mass in order to be freed. God permitted that I come and ask you for help. Pio comforted the poor soul by saying, Rest assured that tomorrow I will celebrate a mass for your liberation. Marie Claire Mokengango, one of the visionaries of Cabejo in the 1980s. Marie Claire was taken on a trip to the three places about which Catholics hear so often. The first was a place where people were in terrible pain, fighting, and extremely angry. Our Lady told her this place was for those who will suffer eternally, who will never be forgiven. She then was taken to a place where there was little light and where there was suffering, but less than in the first place, and where people seemed to be expecting somebody to come and help them. Finally, she was taken to a place with a beautiful light, brighter than the sun, where she could hear beautiful voices. She was told it was for those who have light in their heart, the place of those who respect God. When Marie Claire asked Our Lady why she had shown her these places, Our Lady said, I showed you so you know the life that matters most is what is coming after the life on earth. Go and tell everyone, encourage them to live the right way. Tell them to live without respecting God is the ultimate waste of time. They will regret it bitterly. Our Lady also said, you have to tell the people that these places actually exist. To refuse Jesus is to refuse paradise. The Diary of St. Faustina, 20th century. I saw my guardian angel who ordered me to follow him. In a moment, I was in a misty place full of fire in which there was a great crowd of suffering souls. They were praying fervently, but to no avail for themselves. Only we can come to their aid. The flames which were burning them did not touch me at all. My guardian angel did not leave me for an instant. I asked these souls what their greatest suffering was. They answered me in one voice that their greatest torment was longing for God. I saw Our Lady visiting the souls in purgatory. The souls call her the Star of the Sea. She brings them refreshment. I wanted to talk to them some more, but my guardian angel beckoned me to leave. We went out of that prison. I heard an interior voice say, My mercy does not want this, but justice demands it. Since that time, I am in closer communion with the suffering souls. Again, the number of people who have been given a vision of purgatory or have been visited by the souls in purgatory are enormous. To make a video naming all of them would be hours long. I've been getting comments on my other two videos from Protestants saying that Christ took all of the punishment and therefore there's no need for purgatory. Christ won the victory so we can have salvation, not so we can free sinly without consequences. Nowhere does the Bible say that Christ took all our punishment for sin. At least, not that I have seen, and I've read the New Testament several times. The proof for the existence of purgatory is threefold. There is ample scriptural support, the early church clearly believed in it, and now we have eyewitness accounts of the existence of purgatory. If you have watched all three of these videos and still deny purgatory, it is you who need to explain yourself, not us. Until my next video, God bless.